Welcome back to Travel with Anita and Friends. Today I'm talking with Emily Brophy about Waterford Crystal. So let's jump right back into my conversation where we start with the company's family traditions.
But you know what else I'm hearing, Emily, also too, is just a family connection. So the Penrose family starts it. The McGrays then that, you know, they buy it and then they take it on. But not only who owns it in terms of families, but it sounds like people working there. I mean, from your uncle to your father to you. And as you mentioned, you know, the apprenticeships of young people that they've taught that are now working and passing it on. It really is a company with lots of family legacy.
Absolutely. And it's something we're very proud of because, like, it's like the internet at the moment, you know, with Netflix and with Amazon Prime and all of these things. The difference between logging on to Amazon Prime tonight or to Netflix, you and I watching a program versus tuning in to listen to your program, Anita, is this has got soul and you can't download soul. And it's a bit like that with Waterford Crystal. You can't download or you can't employ passion, you know. You can obviously, you know, recruit and take people on board, which we always do, and bring them on that journey. But you just can't fake passion. And it's been really important in terms of, you know, our employees and our workforce. Like, we've got apprentices now that are cutting crystal and blowing crystal in our factory. And their grandparents work there. And it's just so beautiful. We have one female apprentice called Kate Swift, and she is an amazing artist. So her apprenticeship that she took on was an engraving apprenticeship. So I don't know if you're familiar with intaglio engraving. So we would use these beautiful copper wheels. So you could engrave like animals, like we have a beautiful running horse bowl where you can actually almost feel and see the movement of the animals on the piece. Or we can do like beautiful portraits of people and landscapes. But the idea with intaglio is the lighter you touch the wheel, the deeper it appears from the opposite side, if that makes sense. So yeah, to get depth and definition. But Kate was an amazing artist. And when she was in secondary school, in our schools here, when you're 16, we do a year called transition year. And it's kind of a year where there's no exams, but it's more exploratory. So you go out into the workplace and see what you might like to do. So she came to us when she was 16 and did her work experience, absolutely fell in love with it. But when she left school 2 years later, we didn't have any openings, sadly. But 2 years later, we began our apprenticeship program, and she was one of the first to sign up for it. And thankfully, she was successful. And that's the beginning of her amazing career with Waterford. And she's absolutely in love with what she does. And I don't think that there's anything better in life than having a job that you love. And we all know the expression, if you love your job, you'll never work a day in your life again. And yeah, I think that's true. And I have to say, for me, I mean, there's Ireland is a land of opportunity over the last 10 or 20 years. You know, we have, you know, high employment here in this country, and there's lots of room for mobility. But I love this brand. And actually, I don't see that I may have the same passion for another brand if I were to move on. And I've had so many opportunities over the years. I mean, from being a kid watching my dad come home with beautiful pieces that he made, to starting my career as a tour guide with Waterford. When I was in college, I worked part time, and I worked taking the guided tours around the factory. And like that, I fell in love with our tourists. You know, we had obviously a huge amount of American tourists, French, German, Australian. And it just got under my skin to see the magic. Like, when you take somebody into our factory, Anita, and hopefully someday we can take you there. But when you walk through our factory and you see like the amazing craftsmanship, it's like I still get goosebumps when I walk through and like I see the molten crystal coming from the tank furnace and feel the heat and watch the strength of the blowers crafting that crystal. It almost is like magic. And definitely it's been something that's run strongly through my family over the years. While I might not have the gifted hands of my father, I think maybe the gift of the gab might be more might be more my forte. But that passion certainly never dies. If anything, it grows stronger with our commitment to keep this brand world class.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we need all parts, we need all skills. So absolutely. But, you know, a couple of things with what you said, I'm just so excited about hearing about them. First, it's really great to hear, you know, that there is, you know, young women, because I think a lot of times with skills like this, we tend to think men are the ones who are doing it, are only doing it. So it's great to hear, you know, the involvement with so many women also involved with the design and actually the glass cutting and those things. But tell me a little bit, though, about from start to finish, how long does it take for one piece to actually be completed? And I'm sure it depends on the size and those kind of things, but generally speaking, how long does it take?
Yeah, as you said, it depends, obviously, in terms of the piece, whether it's a sculpted item. But let's say a piece of stemware would take about 3 to 4 days to be completed. In terms of a process, the item would be blown. So you use the iron rods to blow and shape and form the crystal. So once we've done that and we form the shape, it goes into like a cooling oven. So we have to be very careful in terms of how we very gradually decrease the temperature of the crystal because it would crack. Mm-hmm. So that would need a day to cool down within that process. After that, then it goes to an area, a polishing area. So we would crack off the top of it because it would be like an overspill from the mold that you shape the product in. And so then we would file and polish the rims of our glasses. From there, it would go to an area where the crystal is marked. So we put like a little grid pattern, literally with a marker, mark up the even spacing on the glass so that the cutter then can cut the piece. So yeah, you could be talking like 3 to 4 days for a piece to go from one end of the factory to the other.
Wow, that's fascinating. But that's why it's so special as well. You know, it's not just the glass, it's just, you know, boom, 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 this, you know, being manufactured by, you know, a machine, and, you know, the machine does everything. You actually have the real hands of the glass cutters here.
That's exactly it. And I think, like, people are amazed when they come and they see the actual process, because, like, we do live in such a world where everything's instant. You want something, you go online, you order it, and suddenly, you know, the UPS man is at your door. But I think we need to actually stop and look at the effort that goes into craft. And, you know, at the moment, now more than ever, I think people are really appreciating craft. I think it's probably the same on your side of the water, but people are shopping local. Like, while the pandemic has been difficult because our stores have been closed, people have supported us online, or they've phoned our store here in the city, and they want to shop Irish, they want to shop local, they want to support their own. And I think that's the real upside of it. And I think people really appreciate craftsmanship now more than ever.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point, Emily, because, I mean, who would think that we would say that there's some upside of, you know, this raw pandemic? But I do think...
I know.
It sounds funny to even say it. But I do think that people are recognizing that we've had enough kind of downtime now to see really some of the things that are really important to us, to stop and take a breath. It's not always so rush, rush, rush. It's not always so, well, what's over there on the other side? But to take time and appreciate those things that take time, as well as appreciate those things that are part of our own local community.
You're so right on that front. And I think the world may hopefully operate in a different way. We'll be far more appreciative of things when the world reopens. Like, we look at travel, for example, and, you know, everybody has a wish list of where they want to go. And it's quite funny because, you know, I mean, Ireland is a small enough island, and people are talking about all the places they want to go when the world comes back to some class of normality. And the one place that I really want to go is Connemara, which is on the west coast of Ireland. So I don't want to go a million miles from here. But what the pandemic has made me do is actually realize that the things that are almost on my doorstep but slightly unreachable at the moment are the things I want most. Yeah. And I think, like that, people have looked to their own again. They've looked to Waterford. They've looked to Indigenous companies and said, wow, like, we really do have a lot on our doorstep. And, you know, we should support the craft, and we should keep that alive.
Let's stop, take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes here on Travel with Anita and Friends.